Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
The specialists are back, and for the first time in what feels like forever, I am actually talking about The Amazing Race. This is Phil. I am joined by McKenna, who has been covering The Amazing Race for us over on our Patreon channel for the last couple of seasons. I'm going to be coming in freezing cold to this, so I'm just going to admit that right off the bat. So anybody who wants to give me a hard time, wants to talk a little trash, this really is your chance. Will and I used to call it the Amazing Casuals, and I am 100% certainly still a casual. So, yeah, take this what you will. I don't really know what else to say about that.
You also did it with Alexa, too, and we're very casual.
Yeah, we did do it with Alexa, and Alexa and I didn't really have much luck either. So, yeah, here we are. We're just sitting down. We're talking this through. We're going to talk about the premiere of season 36, which I guess is really season 35, but it airs as 36, which is a fun concept to talk about. We'll get back into talking about The Amazing Race. A reason why Will doesn't want to do this podcast, and like he had talked about it previously, is just because he's like, there's no game. There's nothing to talk about. There's no real strategy. There's nothing like that.
You're talking about Deal or No Deal Island.
Yeah, but Deal or No Deal Island actually is shockingly full of important strategic decisions. And that's kind of blowing my mind.
I was too with this last episode, but we are here with The Amazing Race. And I'm so excited because now I don't have to yell at my screen with you and whomever talking about The Amazing Race.
Yeah, I mean, I know you were doing it for our patrons for a while. And I know that you and Celestina, who was doing it with mm-hmm. you, the two of you are going to continue doing some patron content for The Amazing Race. That'll be for all tiers. So if you're a $5 patron and you're hearing this, congratulations, you get more content. That's always a good thing. Never complain about new content anywhere. But yeah, I am ready to break this down. I'm ready to talk about it. I forget who tweeted it. I want to give the proper credit here because I feel like it's important to do this. You know, where is it? Let's see. This is the important stuff that we start the podcast of. I haven't done this in years. And now I'm going to start off with something of me trying to find. Here it is. So yeah, it was Gordon Holmes. He tweeted, "Survivor is my love. Amazing Race is my comfort food. I'm so glad it's back tonight." This was the first Amazing Race episode I've watched in years.
Mm-hmm.
And there is something that is just so relaxing about watching The Amazing Race. So McKenna, anyway, what did you think about the premiere and how have you been finding podcasting about The Amazing Race?
I love podcasting about The Amazing Race because it's always short, sweet, simple. You can get a taste of what other people feel about, you know, the race with like Celestina and I, if you were listening to us, and then like go about your day. They were like 15 minute, half hour podcasts. Like if we hit a half hour, that was shocking. So mm-hmm. like, I liked podcasting about the race, and I'm glad that you're coming into a season that's not COVID-based, so they would charter their flights for them, so they didn't have to deal with, like, airport shenanigans, which now, as of last season, they had, like, are we on the first flight or on the second flight, so...
But this is chartered again this season.
Is it?
Yeah, this season, because it was filmed before 35, is a chartered season.
No.
Yeah, it is a chartered season. So I was looking this up because as somebody who doesn't really pay much attention, I was like, what's going on? And it says, much like the 33rd and 34th seasons, teams traveled by chartered plane.
All right. Well, so then we're going to get like time staggered starts instead of, so it'll be like you leave 5 minutes after this person who leaves 5 minutes after this person who leaves 5 minutes after this person.
And I know that when I was watching, it seemed like they would always somewhat catch up by the end anyway. And when they would be starting the next day, it didn't seem like there was that much of a gap. Mm-hmm. But how did you find the five minute differences working? Did you like that or no?
It doesn't feel like a lot. And then at some point there is a reset, which understandable, but like it doesn't feel like as much of an upset. Like a team coming from behind doesn't feel like terribly unheard of because gotcha. Unless there's like navigation issues, which we saw in this episode, like it's not that bad of a deficit.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. So I'm excited to see where this is going to go because like I said, I didn't actually see this. I'm enjoying the idea of, because this was still a COVID season though, how this first episode was all Puerto Vallarta. Mm-hmm. Puerto Vallarta. There you go. That was better. How they ended up filming it all there. This was the first episode I'd ever seen like this. I assume that seasons 33 and 34 had many episodes that performed very similarly, right? Because I always think of The Amazing Race first episode is get on a plane and fly somewhere cool. And instead it was, we're just starting here and you're going to go from here. That's kind of the case then. That's what I should count.
Yeah. Typically, like in pre-COVID Amazing Race seasons, it'll be like, we're starting somewhere in the States and you're going to fly somewhere else and then end in the States.
Yeah, that I remember. That was mm-hmm. that was my thing. That's what I watched. I've seen enough seasons of that to know how that works.
Yeah, so a lot of times it'll be city version of country, rural version of country, leave.
Okay.
Is what we were getting into a pattern where like they'll stick in the country for a little bit because probably they don't want to charter all these flights.
Yeah.
But so we did more of a city kind of here, and so we might see a city version, a rural version of Mexico.
Gotcha. So that's why they're doing the keep on racing, is because they're just going to go to a different part of Mexico rather than flying anywhere else. Because I was surprised that that's how this episode.
This is okay. This is my big beef of this episode, is because Phil comes out with saying there's no non-elimination legs, but that has never counted for a keep on racing leg. Mm-hmm. The 12th or 14th person would just get their clue and be like, whoa, we're still racing, great, and move on. But here they were eliminated, and I'm like, this is out of nowhere. I was like, oh great, there's gonna be no non-elimination legs, and the first episode they kind of get a bonus of, oh, we get more race to race for two for the price of one almost. And it was not that way, and I was just shocked.
Yeah, it didn't work out that way at all. I was pretty surprised too, because that's what I thought was going to be the excuse of why, you know, to keep the people in for longer. I mean, how much does it suck to be Maya and Rohan, and you've now been waiting since 2022 for your season to air, just for you to get your 15 minutes of fame and do the Austin Powers turn around your car? That was so funny. I mean, I couldn't believe it. Just back it up. Just back it up.
That's what I said. I'm like, why aren't they just backing their car up? Even if Rohan or Maya gets out of the car and is like, all right, you're good. Keep on backing up. Like, the fact that they did that turn still astounds me.
Yeah, and I'm shocked she actually made it. I can't believe she actually made it, because, I mean, for anybody who does watch or did watch Austin Powers, that was one of the funniest scenes in the first movie, is when he's trying to turn the car around. And, you know, there's a gif of it that I actually tweeted, because it's just so ridiculous. I can't believe they finally made the turn. It seemed like the race was over their head. And I know that, you know, like I said, it's been a while since I've watched The Amazing Race. I think the last time I watched The Amazing Race was when James and Will won, or Will and James is really how I should be saying this. It was with Will and James and Hung and Chi, and that was a fun season. And I always like The Amazing Race, but I'm kind of enjoying, I was enjoying this first episode again to kind of be reminded of like what makes The Amazing Race nice. I totally agree with everybody when they say it's not worthy of an hour and a half. And for anybody who doesn't know, I'm sure everybody on the internet knows, the reason that this ended up airing after season 35 is because season 35 was filmed for 90 minutes. They knew they were going to get 90 minutes. So they pushed this season back with the assumption of, okay, we'll be back to 60. They didn't want to re-edit everything. And then when they found out they were going to get 90 minutes again, they ended up having to re-edit it anyway. So they weren't sure what was going to happen, so they were ready to just have 60-minute episodes. So I'm curious to see how the 90-minute episodes will work when they were planning to have 60. Because the 90 in 90, I know some people were saying, felt pretty long for The Amazing Race. So I'm curious how it'll feel with 90 when they were only expecting 60.
I agree. I do not think The Amazing Race needs 90 minutes, because you get the people who are up ahead and finishing, and then we have to wait for everybody else to now finish before we get to the next step, or it's like a little intercut. But I forget who the teams a lot, because we're not constantly seeing them. We have 14 teams spread across 90 minutes. It's just too spread out. I need to constantly like see their name so I can get to know them a little bit more than just like these stretched times where, oh wait, you know, Yvonne and Melissa, who, I don't know who they are, you know.
I felt the same way. I mean, I always feel like with The Amazing Race, it's harder to get to know the people because there's two of them. And if they're a same sex pair, it's hard to be like, okay, wait, which one is
twins?
Which one is
forget Juan? About it.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, those guys don't look at like identical twins. One looks taller than the other. It's insane. Anthony and Bailey. I don't know which is which, but then like, even when it came down to like Juan and Shane, they're both 29 years old and they're military pilots. My eyes couldn't see the difference. Yeah, I mean, like,
I also cannot see the difference.
It's really hard. And then what was the other? There was the other pair that really stood out, like Kishori and Karishma. I feel like
Yvonne, Melissa, I think also are a little bit. And then Sunny and Busy, like any of the same sex, but with like same hair color.
Yeah, Sunny and Busy. I had no idea who they were, even while they were running near the end. Okay. So anyway, let's actually talk about Amazing Race stuff, because that's why people are here. And if you're listening to this Amazing Race podcast, like the video. If you're finding us somehow through the Amazing Race, which I highly doubt is the case for any of you, but subscribe to the channel. I mean, hey, if you're pumped that we're doing more Amazing Race content, I know when I did the State of the Specialist, this was actually something that people really wanted. We won't always be recapping this late at night. I had a crazy day today. If anybody's looking at the video, my hair's a mess. I'm like, not. I knew it was going to be a midnight night. So I am just here. I'm getting this done. Our Thursday night podcast will generally be earlier than this. So don't fret. This is not the norm. But with the premiere, we're never going to do it on Wednesday nights. That's Survivor night. I'm not doing the Amazing Race on Wednesdays. It won't always be McKenna and myself. It's going to flip around. It's going to switch here and there. But for now, expect Thursdays at some time, and it won't be 11:30 at night all of the time. So that's that. Let's talk about how this race was actually run. So they get in their cars, they do all that fun stuff, and they go to a detour. Now, they didn't go to a detour first. They went to a route marker first, and then they went to the detour. But let's talk about the detour, because I feel like the detours and roadblocks are really what the most exciting stuff is. So for the detour, it was pick them up or pin them down. Now, pick them up was you had to carry these two rocking horses all the way down to this place and have these kids ride them. Pin them down was watching Mexican-style wrestling. What? Being that you're the expert on this show, is it better to do the memory-based ones, or is it better to always go with the physical ones? Because we hear Angie and
Danny.
Yeah. And they're mother and son, and Angie's 55 years old, and she said, at least with the physical, we know that it can be done. So what do you think with this?
I feel like if you have confidence in your memory, then that memory challenge can suit you. So this specific one, if you each memorize two sets of wrestlers, then you can do it in two tries and be out. So this one isn't as crazy, but typically I would say go for a physical one unless you are really physically incapable of doing that, because it is always a surefire thing. If you are not good with directions, maybe not go for that this specific physical one, because you had to go to a certain street and bring it back to a certain location. So if you don't know, you know, your way around or how to easily read directions, it might be a little bit more difficult.
Yeah. And I was surprised that Chris and Mary attempted to do this. So for anybody who's, you know, also keeping track at home the way I am, Chris and Mary are the father daughter. Chris is 60 years old and he seemed out of breath just walking. They also were going the route of wearing masks kind of while they were running around. And that was the first time I noticed. I was like, wait, what year is this? Because I don't feel like on the Amazing Race if this was filmed in like the end of 2023, that you'd probably have that going on as much. So I was like, what year is this? So I looked it up, and that was when I saw it. And I'm like, man, him running around with that on and everything. And like, this isn't me sitting here talking about like a debate on masks. I just know this is an older guy who's now like going on and off. And clearly he's like, and then put the mask back on. It's like, okay, maybe he shouldn't be doing the physical challenge, but they attempted to do it anyway. They ended up going back and having to do, they ended up having to do pin them, right?
Yeah. So with this specific detour, they only had enough room for seven teams to do each side, which I like when that happens, because it's always a decision. All right, what are we doing? And then you have to go for it, and it could really set you back if you go for the wrong detour. So
yeah, I love this idea, because it makes you have to say, okay, what place are we in? It's not just about what your strength is. If your placement is not good, don't go do it.
Yeah, especially if you're in like a group of four and you hear like three of them say, oh, let's go do this one, I'd probably gear more towards going to do the other one. And especially if you are, you know, Mary and her dad, like this is the physical one is not a good option for you in last place.
And so what one do people generally go to the most? Also, Thomas McGee says, hello. Hi, I say, and I know a lot of people are probably, I'm seeing our number of views go up because we just hit 11:30, which is when everybody thought this was going to start. And I ended up starting 15 minutes early because I was able to go. And I've had so many midnight nights doing these podcasts. But What do you think, if you're playing this game, what are most people going to go for in this situation? Because my gut says go do pick them up, but this pin them down seemed insanely easy.
Yeah, this was an easier one. They also don't give an insane amount of description. I'm pretty sure they give like a, all right, pick your decision and then go from there. It's not like a full description like Phil gives us in the episodes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I feel like pick them up would be the one a lot of people gear more toward. But when I was watching Pin 'em Down, it's not that hard. And the showings weren't that far apart either. So it's not like you're waiting a long time in between each showing. So
well, they said 5 minutes. I mean, you literally then could do 20 attempts and you're doing what? How many? Okay, why did I just struggle on math here? You could do 12 attempts in an hour, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so if you're doing 12 attempts in an hour to go up, get those horses, bring them down, unbolt them, that's probably taking at least an hour. So
yeah.
By the 12th attempt, you should have this.
Mm-hmm. Pin them down in theory seems harder, but I think in practice is actually a lot easier.
And I think the problem is, and you know, I've watched enough Amazing Race to know this. Sometimes these pin them down type ones are so complicated where they seem like they're going to be simple. And then there's these little minute details that are just headaches that drive you nuts that you just cannot figure out what is going on. What am I missing? Where is this? This did not have that. I understand that some of the masks might've looked a little similar. You couldn't have just simply said black versus white because there were some designs, but it was, how hard was it to be like, okay, it's the guy who has a yellow one going against the guy with a lightning bolt on his head. Like, it wasn't hard to say that and keep that in mind as you were going back and looking at them. I feel like most of the teams got this by their fourth or fifth try. I don't think many teams went longer than that.
Yeah, I think the average was probably third try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Thomas says, I'd probably choose the rocking horse. However, hearing y'all talk, I think it would be the wrong decision.
It's not necessarily wrong, but it's... because you're with a group, like you're with a solid group of people. Like there were two people max at the memory challenge each time.
Yeah.
So like if you're playing odds of being with people, if you can run faster than them, you will always be a spot ahead.
Yeah. I would have initially gone with the rocking horses, but then after seeing the cobblestone and dragging them and all of that, no, I would have wanted to do pin them down. But most of the time, if I'm going out there and I'm playing, I don't care if I'm playing with my wife, if I'm playing with Will, if I'm playing with an ex-NFL player, whatever the case is, I would want to go physical most of the time. Because even though physical is difficult and all that, I would rather know that this is a pick it up and put it down. It's the same thing. Like when I used to work at a pool company and we would build the pools, and this was in summers back during college. And it was always, just give me the process that takes the least amount of thought. I honestly don't care if it is going to be fast enough. I don't care if it's the smartest. Just give me the thing that is going to take the least amount of thought. And that's kind of what the physical challenges are in the Amazing Race. It's very hard to mess up the physical challenges as compared to these mental challenges, because the mental challenges try to trick you. Although in the first leg of the race, it kind of is what it is.
Yeah. Right? There are some physical challenges though, when you kind of either read the description or listen to what Phil says, is these are insane. Don't do this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess you have to be able to figure it out too, right? Like if it's something you're very interested in, if I went to, if there was a thing in Cannes and it was something film related, I'd be like, of course I'm going to do that. I don't care if it's the mental one, because I like movies, and even if that means I have to pick out who the lookalikes of each actor are, okay, then I'll go and do that. I'd rather do that than some physical challenge in the hills down there in Cannes. I mean, it's hilly. Like that's not fun. So I guess it depends on what the subject is. Is this kind of what the challenges, the detours have been like in this era? Because they feel... I remember back when I would watch the earlier seasons pre-COVID. And again, this is the first season I'm watching post-COVID. And I know that this was still heavily affected by COVID. when I would watch the pre-COVID seasons, it felt like they were convoluted challenges, but they really did fit into where they were much better. I feel like with this challenge, it was, we have to set up these fake wrestlers in a ring. They've all probably been COVID tested. They've all probably been got, you know, whatever, to make sure that they're doing all of this. And then we're going to go get these rocking horses that are, you're not picking up from a store or you're not having to build. They're literally just there. And we put them out. Is that a product of COVID, or was that the way the Amazing Race was going and I just didn't realize?
No, I'd say it just depends, detour to detour to roadblock to roadblock. Like it kind of, they try and still form it to the culture, mm-hmm. but you know, one was assembling last season was assembling like a traditional backpack with a bunch of things that needed to be sold at market, but they had to go to the place to assemble the backpack and then walk the backpack to where they needed to have it, needed to place it. So like it can still involve the culture, but still have that element of it's over here, go to it and come back.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This one didn't, I mean, I get that the horses were technically part of the culture and the luchadores were part of the culture, but
right.
It felt like they weren't necessarily part of the culture here or in this way. It didn't feel mm-hmm. like, oh, go pick them up and deliver them to children as we've seen in the past, or go to a wrestling ring. It was very mm-hmm. much, it's right here. We can only go in a certain radius. We got to make sure you all stay healthy because mm-hmm. we can't be shutting down production on the Amazing Race
six, seven, eight
days in. So I do get that. So with this, and again, I mean, this is so early to know all of these players and all of these teams, especially with where they're at. Rod and Letitia did surprise me, though. I thought that they were going to be just a physical team, and they did do pin them down, and mm-hmm. they did pretty well with pin them down, and they ended up, what, they finished first on the leg anyway. So that did impress me. Other than that, I don't really have too much to say. It seemed like almost everybody thought, go with the physical, see if you can make that happen. And then at the end, Maya and Rohan probably figured, okay, we have no chance of being a part of the physical, so we might as well go back. Why was it so difficult for them to figure out where to go in this episode?
Even with maps. They weren't given a map, so that you have to find, go to someone and ask, hey, where is this? Can you help me find it? Can I borrow a phone? So maybe not understanding the person's directions or their own directions. This is one of my favorite aspects of The Amazing Race is self-driving, because it leads to things like this, where a team that is doing so well could drop so far behind because they can't follow directions. And it also could be language barrier related too. A good handful of teams actually spoke Spanish and were able to like maneuver that way. So it could have played a factor in like multiple people's driving, because we saw Amber and Vinny also get lost as well. Mm-hmm. So there was a good sprinkling of people getting lost, but the main one was definitely Maya and Rohan in their 1,000-point turn.
Yeah, that 1,000-point turn. And Amber and Vinny dropped all the way to 12th place because they got so lost. Like, they very well, if Maya and Rohan weren't such a disaster, they very well could have been the team that ended up going home. Mm-hmm. Roadblock-wise, in terms of roadblocks, I'm going to give this one an L for lame. But what did you think of this roadblock? Would you have wanted to do this roadblock based on the clue? Would you have been good at this roadblock had you accidentally done it? How do you feel about this roadblock?
I don't feel terrible about this roadblock. I don't jump really high, so that would be an issue for me. But Who's Feeling Loopy is really fun as a title for a roadblock. I'd opt not to, but I feel like I could do it if given. If I was to do it, I thought it was a little lame, not the best, because you saw people just ace it in one shot.
It seemed really easy. I feel like I would have wanted to do this one. I would have been good at it. I mean, I have like some athletic bones in my body, so I think I would have been good at this. Oh my God, this hair is so bad. I look at this. I'm like scratching my head because
that's
like,
why I have wearing, a hat on. That's why
I was wearing a hat all day, so I'm like scratching my head, and then I scratch my head, and I'm like, what a disaster this is. So yeah, this is what happens when you wear a hat and then sweat in South Florida because it's 90 degrees already. So here you go. I got the flock of seagulls going on at this point. This is what we're stuck with for the rest of the night. I feel like this was easy, and one of the big keys was make sure you keep your hat on.
Mm-hmm.
And they all just held their hat. Nobody, like everybody when they jumped through, just held their hat. I thought it was going to have to be make sure your hat doesn't get hit. And instead, they all just held the brim or whatever they were doing. And everybody made it seem pretty easy. So there really wasn't much room to catch up if you had fallen behind.
Yeah. And Karishma forgot her little red bow tie thing.
Okay.
And
how do you not read the clues at this point? My goodness.
I mean, heck, Will and James didn't read the clue.
I know. I gave them both a hard time for that because we actually did get a post-game interview with the two of them. And we actually had James on for a Predictions and Power Rankings episode for Survivor last year. But I remember giving them a hard time being like, what is this? Like, that's the number one thing you need to do on The Amazing Race is read the clue. Read every single word of that clue because every single word is there for a reason.
Also, at the table with the hats is the little red tie thing.
Why else would that be there? I also like that Rohan was wearing his on the mat, which was like funny, but also kind of sad because they lost, but it was still funny. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes they do wind up wearing the costumes to the pit stop, but that is something that you can easily like just take off. But he was just out here in his hat and bow tie.
Yeah, no, it was great. John's hit me with, was that an unfunny pop culture reference a la Adam Sandler? If you didn't listen to our Adam Sandler podcast, Flock of Seagulls comes up in that too. This was a funny reference though, because I look ridiculous right now, John. Yeah, he was still wearing his thing when he got there. I mean, again, is this what we've seen? So what's interesting, and I'll probably go back and watch season 35, which is actually the 36th season, to watch a season, and we have an interesting perspective as fans, as podcasters, as casuals, whatever you want to call us, because we watched a season that went back to what The Amazing Race was. Even though I didn't watch it, you probably did. I know you did. I hope you did. Otherwise, what the hell were you putting out on Patreon? Like, we are getting to see what they want to do with COVID now behind. Were the roadblocks and detours in the early portion of the game during season 35 better than what they were on Wednesday night or no?
I don't think... if I can remember, I don't think that this felt like too COVID restricted. I think it just depends on where they are. In the cities, a lot of these roadblocks or detours will be kind of like this, where it gives them more breath to work with when they're in a more like countryside rural area where they can set up certain things or like go help this farmer do this thing or that of things of that nature.
Got it. Okay. So it doesn't seem like it really changed all that much then is what you're saying.
Yeah. I think that is fine. I think the biggest thing is going to be like the start placements of the race and not having airports and things like that, because that was like, okay, finally we have The Amazing Race back, and to just go back a season is kind of like disheartening.
Yeah. I mean, what's crazy is they probably came close to almost canning this entirely. I mean, this could have been the first ever reality TV series, like CBS reality TV show that just got we're getting rid of it. I mean, they might have thrown it on Paramount Plus. Go and film another one so that the show can keep going. And then this is Paramount Plus. Obviously, like, you know, you already put the money into this. But still, for this to be filmed October 25th to November 17th of 2022.
Yeah.
And the other season's June 13th to July 8th of 2023. I mean, at this point, this is old news.
Yeah. It almost feels like if Survivor were to go to two tribes again and then the next season go back to three. It's like... Why?
Well, you mean how we had season 31 and 32 flopped, and season 31 started with two tribes, and season 32 started with three tribes?
Yeah,
I'm just saying that's actually kind of a crazy example based on what you said there. All right, because we're, you know, it's The Amazing Race. We're gonna have a fun time with it. We're gonna talk about it. We're just gonna hang out. We're gonna do whatever as we go through. Who's your early favorites?
I liked Rod and Letitia. They're not my favorite though. I mean, I've got to root for the lesbians. I feel like that is obligatory for me. So Yvonne and Melissa, I'm here. Sunny and Busy seem like they could do some work if they were seen. I just don't know them. And I'm here for Anthony and Bailey as long as they're on our screen, so which I don't think is long. And I kind of think they're very similar to from last season, Liam and Jeremy, who were another set of twins and just kind of doofy like these guys.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like these guys weren't put on the show to win the Amazing Race. They were put on the show for our joy and entertainment. Yeah, I was a big fan of Derek and Shalisa. I like them. They were the grandparents. I thought that they were a lot of fun. I like how they are so nasty to each other, but in a very, like, we've just been married so long. We don't care. We're not bothered by anything. We love each other. It doesn't matter what we say to each other. And when I say nasty, it would be, I told you we were supposed to do this. I know, just rolling your eyes. It's such great old married couple stuff. So I was really digging that. I did like somebody, who was it? Thomas in the chat here. I think it was. Yeah. Thomas. It was ironic that the double Dutch team messed up talking about the roadblock. I did like them. I thought they were a lot of fun. I feel like they're bringing a lot of energy. That's Michelle and Sean. I feel like Ricky and Cesar, it's not Caesar. Mm-hmm. It's Cesar. Yeah. I feel like we've seen them before. I don't feel mm-hmm. like this is like, they're not. And I mean, I'm sure we've seen most of these teams before, yeah. But in terms of like the teams that I remember, that feels like a team that I've seen a million times. Mm-hmm. Juan and Shane, I feel like we've seen a lot, you know, like maybe not necessarily the military thing, but like, here's your favorites. These are your young, strong guys who are going to have like world knowledge. They should be good at this. Karishma and Kishori, I thought had a good story.
Dark horses. Like, yeah. They don't seem like they're going to do that well. They're like middle of the pack, but they could just like hit those few episodes.
What was the season? I gotta go back and I gotta find it, because again, I haven't watched in a while, so everybody can yell at me as much as you want. It was they kind of are giving me the feeling of Kaylin and Haley from James Wallington's season.
They finished the blondes.
The blondes. 8th out of 11, 8th out of 10, then 3rd out of 9, then 8th out of 8, but it was a non-elimination. Mm-hmm. Then 7th out of 8, then 7th out of 7, non-elimination. Then 5th out of 7, then 6th, but then it was like keep on racing. So then they kept going, and then they finally got eliminated. But they lasted 8 episodes, and they finished top 7, one time? Like, whatever I just said. They finished top 5 twice in those 8 episodes that they were mm-hmm. on our screen. And I feel like that is kind of what I'm getting from this team, where they could hang around, do just enough and then pull out the victory, but not necessarily the victory, but pull out something that keeps them around or gives them some sort of surprise at the end. Yeah. I really, season 32 was a fun season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually came on for an episode of that because you were bringing on patrons.
That was. I was actually looking back at some of that stuff. It was funny because I was talking to Blake last night. Blake wants to do Big Brother in the summer, we need him to have a co-host because I'm not doing it. So if anybody's a huge Big Brother fan, you know, we're pretty much hosting tryouts at this point. We're trying to figure out who could put up with Blake and do this. So, yeah, I was talking. I'm like, yeah, we've had some patrons on before. He's like, well, who were they? What did they do? And then we went and I pointed it out. So
yeah, then you made John and I part of the team.
I did. I was, you know, look, and I'm glad I did, because now you keep putting out social media content and I just sit here and say, did you do it? And that's really how the conversation goes. Amber and Vinny finished 12th. Chris and Mary finished 11th. Normally I ask, do you think the team that finished next to last has a chance to survive? Will they be able to rebound? Mm-hmm. I think because Chris and Mary are right ahead of them, that makes sense. Is Chris and Mary the team that you look at and say they're the weakest?
Yeah, I think they are not long for this world, but they could, like, I feel like Chris and Mary would be the ones to hit those non-elimination legs and keep surviving. But since there are none,
yeah,
that I think they're going to get cut within four. Well, within
yeah, they won't make episodes. It past episode 4.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I agree. I agree. And I think Amber and Vinny, that's a 12th place. We got lost. We were doing fine until we got lost. I'm not really concerned about them at all.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think definitely the navigation can give those hot teams either great, you can do this, or drop them down to a mid or lower place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because without the flights, that's your only kind of thing that you can either control or get out of your hand.
Now, because it's COVID, are they pretty much always driving, or are they ever getting in taxis or anything? Or are they trying to keep them away from other people as much?
Yeah. So it'll either be on foot or a lot of driving. Maybe they might do like a tuk-tuk since it's all open, but.
Got it. That makes sense. Okay. You got anything else you want to say about this? 2.89 million viewers. Is that good?
I don't know.
I don't know. Let me look at what last season was.
Yeah. So typically, like, I'd also announce what people won, but they're still racing. So I don't understand why we had Rohan and Maya eliminated here. That I just don't understand why they're eliminated, but they're still racing. But just without Maya and Rohan.
Yeah, it left a weird taste in my mouth. But I guess you were talking about how it kind of evens it up when they do the charter planes, and they might start 5 minutes, five minutes, 5 minutes, whatever.
I think it's 15. And so it's like, it could be a bigger deficit, but like.
But this one, they're just running. They just keep going. So they don't have to worry about that gap. Rod and Leticia might not have won anything, but they have however large of a lead over Amber and Vinny as they have.
Yeah, so my guess is they're going to have to, like, drive to rural Mexico and do something in the mountains or in the fields of Mexico.
I'm gonna take your word for that because I have no way to prove or say anything. I have nothing to base my opinion on.
This is just my guess.
I'm going to enjoy doing this podcast as a casual. I think The Amazing Race. I think what's fun about The Amazing Race, though, is it's one you can do as a casual. I couldn't sit there and talk about Big Brother and be a casual because people would say, no, that's stupid, this, that, whatever. Because the strategy in this game isn't much, I feel like this is a show where I can sit down, I can talk about it, and just have a good time with it.
Yeah, it's definitely more strategic within your partner rather than within the cast. Like, you have to decide with your partner which detour would be best for us, which roadblock would be, who would be better for each roadblock. And the only time that, you know, the teams come into question are for like a U-turn or something with like a sabotage, which they just introduced back last season, so they probably won't have it this season.
Of course. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. When are you doing your Patreon podcast? What days are those going up?
It is going up on Saturdays. Celestina and I are still covering The Amazing Race on the Patreon, but we are ripping off Phil and Blake, and we're doing digging deeper. We're calling it Route Info, and we'll be highlighting one specific part of the episode and kind of talking about it for a little bit and giving you a little bite on your Saturdays.
Yeah, and since Blake was the one who podcasted the recap with me last night for Survivor, there won't be a digging deeper this week. Will's schedule gets much better after next Tuesday, so we're just trying to get through to that day. Blake is not Blake and I aren't going to do digging deeper because we just talked anyway, so that doesn't matter. I'll put up my Survivor After Show tomorrow for all of our top tier patrons. So if you want to become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. If you like hearing McKenna and Celestina talk, that'll be for any tier of patron. So as long as you hit that lowest, even free members aren't going to get it. It's got to be the lowest tier. I know we get a lot of people who come over, they sign up as free members. I think they just want to seek it out, see what we're posting, see if they're interested. But, you can start getting your content as soon as Saturday, which unfortunately for me is 24 hours and 4 minutes away right now. So we're going to wrap this up. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back again next Thursday, probably a little bit more mid evening, like 8:30 or so, but me and McKenna will talk about that at another time, and we'll figure that out for everybody. So thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this podcast, and make sure to like this video, subscribe to the channel, and we'll see you next time.
Yep. Bye.